and this new innovative approach to music would spread through Germany. In the far west of the country, the Rhine-Ruhr area comprising cities Cologne and Düsseldorf, yet another scene began to emerge. Both cities had their fair share of beat bands and cover acts, but they also had thriving artistic scenes. In Cologne, Can formed, a group who would become one of the leading lights of the German movement. And in Düsseldorf, future Kraftwerk pioneers Ralf Hütter and Florian Schneider founded the organization.
When I think of Kraftwerk and our organization and the whole scene around them, the things that would come to my mind as forerunners would not be in the field of music, but in the field of fine art, visual art. I think the Düsseldorf scene at the 60s was a very vibrant scene based around this place, this club called Cream Cheese, which was very important, which was a nightclub, a discotheque, decorated and organized by people from the Zero Movement, which was a kind of very important movement, and other artists around. The Düsseldorf Art Academy was there, where people like Josef Beuys were teaching at that time, and this is far more for me the culturally important background.
Yet although there was a major influence from the world of the visual arts, there was also a more academic element to these bands. Unlike the various artists from the Zodiac scene or those in Amondul, the organizations Florian Schneider and Ralf Hütter and Cannes Holger Schukai and Ermin Schmidt were classically trained musicians. And classical music itself had been going through some radical changes since the 1930s, with various composers striving to introduce an electronic component into it. A major figure in the introduction of new sounds and electronic techniques in this area was Frenchman Pierre Schaeffer.
Pierre Schaeffer was important in France because he had a studio in Radio France. Most of the early electronic studios were in radio stations in the late 1940s, mid-1950s, because they had the equipment. The equipment they were using was basically tone generators, oscillators, sine wave generators, very basic sound equipment that produced, that changed sound waves. And then they didn't have tape. Pierre Schaeffer's early experiments with music were discs from records. What he did was he actually got records, 78s of say, train sounds, water sounds, crowd sounds, marching band sounds, and mixed them together and invented this thing called music concrete, or real music.
The main instrument that he used in the beginning was a record player, and then when he was given access to a tape recorder, it totally revolutionized the way he worked. And so he was one of the first people really to use technology within a musical system, as a really major part of a musical system. And obviously this influenced many students of his, such as Pierre Henry and people like that, and later on Stockhausen.
And it was this towering figure of experimental music operating out of the Rhine-Ruhr area itself who would become a pivotal influence on emerging electronic musicians. Karlheinz Stockhausen, who had collaborated with Pierre Schaeffer in the early 1950s, developed a music that would not only incorporate concrete elements, but also pure electronics. The groundbreaking compositions that he created while working at the WDR Broadcasting Center's electronic studio in Cologne during the 1950s and 60s would dramatically change the shape of late 20th century music.
Stockhausen is by far the most important composer of the 20th century in regards to electronic music, because he invented electronic music. I remember before Stockhausen there was no proper electronic music. People did not think about making music electronically as a composition, writing it out, scoring it, then composing it in the studio, and then presenting it through loudspeakers. Nobody had the gall to do that, but he did. And he would spend up to 6 months, maybe a year, putting together a half an hour piece or a 20-minute piece, either in Paris with Pierre Schaeffer or in Cologne, where he worked in this studio there. And Stock had started to get a lot of people following him. And after 1956, when he did Gesang der Jünglinge, which is Song of the Youth, and that was a massive international sensation because it was basically loudspeakers on stage and him just playing a tape. There was no musicians. This was scandalous. This was ridiculous. The classical historians said, this is crazy, but this really caused a huge uproar.
Die Leute waren mehr interessiert, meine ich, als heute. Also an dieser, sagen wir, ernsten elektronischen Musik. Heute sind die Leute schon interessiert an Techno und so weiter. Aber ich hatte das schon das Gefühl, dass das Interesse an der... Niemand weiß, dass es die gibt, die ernste, sogenannte ernste elektronische Musik, also experimentelle Musik und so weiter. Das war zwar oft eine ablehnende Haltung, aber es war bekannt, dass es das gibt. Stockhausen kannte man zum Beispiel in Deutschland, weil Stockhausen eben der Begriff.
And at the Robert Schumann Academy, where both Ralph Hütter and Florian Schneider were students, Stockhausen was a key part of the curriculum. Future Kraftwerk member Karl Bartos was also introduced to the composer's work while a student here.
I started my musical studies at the Robert Schumann Institute in Düsseldorf, and then I got acquainted to all the classical music. The idea about the electronic movement was that the composer, and I was a composer also in that time, a classical composer, as good as I could, the idea was bypassing the instrumentalist, bypassing the orchestra, and composing directly onto tape something. And the other movement at that time was the so-called musique concrète, coming from Pierre Schaeffer in Paris. And he was using found sounds, like sounds of the environment, sound of a tree, if you rattle it, or anything what made sound. And this is, it has always a lot to do with Kraftwerk, with the Kraftwerk sounds, this musique concrète and this electronic approach.